What's up, you beautiful bastards? Hope you're having a fantastic Thursday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show, and let's just jump into it. And the first thing we're going to talk about today is a heavily requested and also lighter story with where today's show goes. I needed to start off light, and it's industry slash tech slash entertainment news that has a lot of people in a panic. And the reason for this is in the past 24 hours, a good number of people have realized that YouTube looks different to them, specifically that they no longer see custom thumbnails. And to use my channel as an example, instead of seeing yesterday's thumbnail, some people saw this. Several people then reached out to YouTube on Twitter saying, why is this happening? And YouTube actually responded, saying, we are running a small experiment where 0.3% of viewers will see an auto-generated thumbnail instead of your custom thumbnail. We are not removing the ability to create your custom thumbnail, but we hope to gain insights on auto-generated thumbnails for the future. And following this response, we saw a lot of people, including many established creators, expressing their displeasure. Emma Blackery tweeting, YouTube now, quote, experiments on channels without their consent by stripping away their custom thumbnails for some viewers, affecting that channel's views and revenue. Why? For what? Ricky Dillon tweeting, you better not, YouTube. You're not about to go to 2010. Sometimes you get so unlucky and your auto-generated thumbnail is something random like a tree or a foot. Plus, just don't. I literally beg you. No point in experimenting. Additionally, one of my favorite responses to YouTube came from MKBHD, who tweeted, YouTube in 2023, we are running a small experiment where 2% of viewers will see a Jake Paul video instead of your video. We are not removing the ability to make your own videos, but we hope to gain insights on engagement, the dislike button for the future. Now, to get a little more insight into what actually is happening with this experiment, or at least what they're saying with this experiment, I scrubbed the YouTube help forum and found a post from 2 days ago that had 185 views. And a few key pieces of information I found there included they called this a brief experiment, referring to the time period as the next few weeks. And for people that are not a part of this 0.3% experiment, if you're wondering what your auto-generated thumbnail for your video is, they say it is the second thumbnail that's suggested when you upload your video. Also noting that this will not affect the content of the videos, but to that I would say I don't think anyone did think that. But then also added, there are no current plans to change or remove the ability to add custom thumbnails. We're running this experiment to improve auto-generated thumbnails, a top request we get from creators who use them by testing the effectiveness of auto-generated thumbnails. And what I will personally say to this is, while I very much understand why there are many YouTubers that are concerned and incredibly skeptical and distrusting of YouTube based off of history, I do believe this is going to turn out to be not that big of a deal. YouTube as a company is incredibly aware of how important titles, but then even more specifically, thumbnails are for each video, and they even have recommendations on how to make a good one. I mean, really one of the only positives you could try and argue and use as the basis for trying to make auto-generated thumbnails the new standard, that's the way it has to be done, is you could say that it would hurt clickbait, but YouTube's already accomplished that by having the GIF preview of when you hover over a thumbnail. And so with this specific test, I'm inclined to believe YouTube here, that they want to have a very small test to see, you know, how does our system pick thumbnails? How can we make it better for all of the people that don't do custom thumbnails like we do on this channel? And that's something to keep in mind, because based off of your consumption of YouTube, my relationship with YouTube, it's very easy to think of YouTube as YouTubers. People with consistent scheduled shows, but you also have to keep in mind there is 450 hours of video uploaded to YouTube every minute. So there are a ton of people uploading to YouTube where it would be very giving to call them amateur, and they may need and thrive off of this. But still, that said, I understand why YouTubers are concerned here, especially because YouTube kind of downplays the 0.3%. And while that sounds so incredibly small, it's important to remember just this past week at VidCon, they announced that every month they have 1.9 billion logged in users. So if they're being honest about the scale of this, those numbers, you do the math, that's what, 5.7 million users that are not seeing custom thumbnails? And understand, this is an opinion coming from a guy whose career would most likely plummet, since every random still of my show that people can take is just a derp face. Right, so even if this is a small test, that means that YouTube is giving a much less than ideal experience to millions of people right now, an experience they say they are testing for the next few weeks. So for those consumers, that could be incredibly frustrating. But all of that said, I do want to pass the question off to you. What are your thoughts here? Do you understand the concern or know it's misplaced? Any and all thoughts, I'd love to see them down below. Then let's go international and talk about a place we've covered several times over the past year, and that place is Venezuela. And you may be wondering, oh, Phil, have things gotten better? My response to that is, oh no, it has not. And today specifically, the update is around the insane inflation, the value of their currency. And this is something we've hit on before, but it is a truly horrible situation for them right now. And to fully showcase how ridiculous this situation has gotten, we look back first to 2016. There we see President Maduro devaluing the Bolivar, and the official exchange rate in Venezuela changes from 6.3 to 1 US dollar to 10 to 1 US dollar. We then fast forward to February 5th, 2018, where we see the Central Bank of Venezuela change the rate from 10 to 1 to 25,000 to 1. What also makes that crazy is that Venezuelans were being capped on how much money they could take out. It was being capped at 10,000. So these people were being capped at what was essentially a few US cents. And now the newest update, according to Bloomberg, if you have 1 million bolivars, that now equals just 29 US cents. And that means that their annual inflation rate for their currency is coming in at 43,378%. And as Bloomberg also points out, if just what has happened over the past 3 months continues for the next nine, you're talking about an inflation rate of 482,153%. And based off of the current situation, the way things are trending, I don't know how this gets better for Venezuela. At least not with a Maduro Venezuela, but ultimately we're going to have to wait and see what happens next. But from that, I want to share some stuff I love today, and today in Awesome brought to you by BetterHelp.com/DeFranco. BetterHelp, if you do not know, is the fantastic place where you can get affordable private online counseling. And with BetterHelp, you get access to licensed, trained, experienced, accredited psychologists, marriage and family therapists, clinical social workers, and board licensed professional counselors. And all you've got to do is go to BetterHelp.com/DeFranco. You fill out the questionnaire, they match you with a counselor, and you can start counseling today. And they're not just a sponsor on this show, they are a service that I use and I'm incredibly thankful for. But main point, if any of that sounds interesting to you, you want to try it out, just go to BetterHelp.com/DeFranco. And the first bit of awesome today, after massive demand, if you do not know, in our store we sell what has become the massively successful sports shirt. It is by far our best-selling shirt, and there has been a heavily requested tweak to that design requested for about a year and a half. And so after all this time, I'm happy to announce and release today the eSports shirt. One of the best ways to universally represent something you love and or get into an argument with someone that doesn't think something with video games can have a real competition or be a sport. So there it is. If you want to snag one while you can, link down below. Then we got a gameplay trailer for Firewall Zero Hour. Then we got the How It Should Have Ended for Avengers Infinity War. We got an inside look for the movie Mortal Engines. Then we had Joel Embiid on Hot Ones. We had Marvel giving us the science of ants. And if you want to see the full versions of everything, I just shared the secret link of the day. Anything at all, links as always are in the description down below. And then let's talk about this horrifying and crazy story coming out of Great Falls, Montana. And at the center of this story, we have 19-year-old Samantha Ray Mears. According to her ex-boyfriend, who was the alleged victim in this instance, last Friday, Mears broke into his house while he was away, and when he later came back to the house, she reportedly confronted him with a machete in hand, demanding that he take his clothes off, lay down on the bed. He complied, fearing bodily harm. According to the report, she then proceeded to remove her pants, climb on top of him, and Mears, at this point, as the New York Post says, then began to engage him in sexual intercourse, all while still holding the machete, then adding, when he tried to get her to stop, Mears refused and bit him on the arm, which I just want to chime in. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more in a second. What you described is not engaged in sexual intercourse. That is rape. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not calling myself a journalist. It just sounds like that's rape. We'll touch on that again in a second. According to the reports, after this was over, she sat naked on the bed, still with weapon in hand. At that point, the ex-boyfriend was able to take several photos, which he has now given to police as evidence. And following this, there was apparently a big blow-up argument, at which time she ripped part of the wall trim off and then urinated on the bed. And after which, the ex-boyfriend convinced her that he needed to call a friend about something, at which time he called the authorities. And actually, according to the Great Falls Tribune, this is not the first time she has gotten violent. Reportedly, she had been arrested back in April at the victim's home, because she reportedly grabbed his hair, hit him in the face, and tried to strangle him. But that said, now what's interesting with this story is a second story has popped up specifically around the coverage. Many, many people finding it ridiculous and outrageous that the New York Post at no point calls this rape. That at no time in the Great Falls Tribune that there is any mention of rape. You had a lot of people saying this is an example of the double standard that sexual assault victims who are men have to deal with, saying that in avenues like this, men are ignored or minimized. And there, I do want to say I personally agree that male victims do have to deal with that, but also at the same time point out, I don't believe that it is 100% a journalism problem here, because legally speaking, Samantha Ray Mears has not been charged with rape. She's currently facing 6 charges, and they are aggravated burglary, assault with a weapon, unlawful restraint, partner family member assault, and 2 counts of criminal mischief. And I will say personally, I am incredibly troubled and confused as to how you could not call this rape and charge rape. And I think in addition to there being this double standard, there's also a potential definition problem. Well, Merriam-Webster describes rape as unlawful sexual activity and usually sexual intercourse carried out forcibly or under threat of injury against a person's will or with a person who is beneath a certain age or incapable of valid consent because of mental illness, mental deficiency, intoxication, unconsciousness, or deception. The FBI, as of 2012, defines rape as the penetration, no matter how slight, of the vagina or anus with any body part or object, or oral penetration by a sex organ of another person without the consent of the victim. So from a federal mindset, to qualify as a rape, the victim has to be penetrated. But then what makes this even more confusing is that a according to Montana Co., they simply qualify it as a person who knowingly has sexual intercourse without consent with another person. This is ridiculous and disgusting, and while I understand why many people are angry at the outlets, I think that the outlets are in a weird place here legally speaking, and where I think the anger should be rightly placed is with the government. This is something that needs to be addressed and fixed, in my opinion, but I will also pass the question off to you. What are your thoughts here? Do you see this as a double standard, intended or not? Do you think, no, that it should not qualify? We can agree, we can disagree, just let me know down below. And the last thing I want to talk about today is a story around a guy by the name of Joel Davis. Now, Joel is an Ivy League student. He's been a rising star in the activism world. He worked for the United Nations as a youth ambassador for the UN Special Representative on Sexual Violence and Conflict between 2014 and 2016. He also served as the chairman of the International Campaign to Stop Rape and Gender Violence and Conflict until May of 2018. As part of his UN work, he traveled to several countries around the world. He even worked with Angelina Jolie at one point. He also, and this is a big part of the story, he founded and served as the executive director for the international organization Youth to End Sexual Violence. And according to local news reports, when Davis was 19 years old, he was even nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize for his work trying to end sexual violence. And while maybe a quarter of you right now are thinking, oh, that's nice, Phil's giving us like a story about a good guy, a gasp of fresh air in the shit flood that is the 2018 news cycle, no. Sorry, not this video. This week, Davis has now been exposed as a perverse, disgusting, horrible hypocrite. On Tuesday, he was arrested on multiple charges, including one count of attempting to sexually exploit a minor, one count of enticing a minor under the age of 18 to engage in sexual activity, one count of possession of child pornography, and one count of receipt and distribution of child pornography. And those counts carry a sentence anywhere between 10 years to life in prison. So what are the specifics? What? How did this happen? Well, over the last several weeks, between May and late June, the FBI engaged in a sting operation to catch child predators. You had undercover agents posting messages on fetish website message boards, writing things like, looking for other no limits taboo pervs in DC area, by dad here, to which Davis reportedly responded with the screen name Young Perv 22, writing, need me to come down and watch your kids for a night? Smiley face. And that conversation between Davis and an FBI agent then turned into text messages. Davis then allegedly wrote that he was into children 0+ and had no limits. Also saying that he had had sexual experience with a 9-month-old boy, 6-year-old girl, and 7-year-old boy. At one point in the conversation, the FBI agent told Davis that he has an 8-year-old daughter. And then in another conversation, another agent told Davis he had a 9-year-old daughter, which Davis, and I can't even read Davis's responses. If I read it, I'll just flip this fucking table because I don't know what to do with the anger inside. Here are those texts. And over the course of the conversations, Davis arranged to meet an 8-, 9-, and 2-year-old. Davis also reportedly sending horrifically graphic images of children as young as infants engaged in sexual activity with adults 2 agents, asking the undercover agent to take photos of his fictional 9- and 2-year-old, even writing about the 2-year-old saying, when do you have that baby alone next? I mean, even for a few mins enough to FaceTime. Additionally, after obtaining a search warrant, police found a large stash of child pornography on Davis's cell phone. According to authorities, after his arrest, Davis not only admitted to having a sexual interest in infants and toddlers, but also admitted to keeping the child pornography on his phone, as well as trying to meet up with the fictional children created by the FBI. And following this story, I have a few things that I kind of want to get through. The first is just a massive thank you to the FBI and the people that brought this monster to justice. 2, I know the laws do not allow this right now, but is it possible to throw Davis in a fire? And finally, 3, I think the reason this is so incredibly troubling and infuriating and scary, I think, also just as a parent, is that monsters like this, because they want to get to children, they put themselves in positions where they get that access, and because of that access and that position, it also shields them. It's something that Wendy Silva, a sexual assault victim advocate, really hit on.
A pedophile wants access to children. Where are they gonna try to be? They're gonna try to be where there are children, trying to work in the schools, work in boys and girls clubs, work in, you know, that's where they really try to be.
Right? Not only does their position throw people off their scent, it gives them access. And in general, I'm already not a very trusting person with people outside of my bubble, and so this is just messes me up, and I end up hoping, obviously, that these are outlier situations, especially because they're most of the people that are throwing themselves into fields to, you know, educate kids or help vulnerable people, it's usually not a very good paying job, right? They're in it for the cause, to have an impact, change the world in their own little way, but then you're gonna always have wolves trying to find their way in, and I don't know how to deal with that. I don't know, because I'm just now covering the story, it's still fresh in my mind, but I do want to pass the question off to you as far as, well, what is your takeaway from this story? I always appreciate a different different point of view. And that's where we're going to end it today. And remember, this is the Philip DeFranco Show. It is a show, but it is also a conversation, whether it be the last story, the first one, anything in between. Let me know what you're thinking in those comments down below. And of course, remember, if you like this video, you like what I'm trying to do with this show, hit that like button. If you're new here, hit that subscribe button, ring that bell to get notifications. That way you don't miss this daily weekday news show, which actually, if you did miss any of the last two episodes, you can click or tap right there to watch those. But that's it, of course. As always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.